Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on making money with hard money, right after this message. In 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. Public business is conducted in commercial paper like stocks, bonds, and Federal Reserve notes. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there is no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and the value of clad coin or currency. And that's very true when we're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But it's not true when we deal with the real marketplace, because there's a 7-to-1 difference in purchasing power in gold over paper and a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, they must first take away their gold and silver coin to take away the people's right to property and then destroy their property rights. Now, if we intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, because property is the legal foundation of all of our liberties. Now, let me teach you how to do just that in my business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschool. For more information about my private business school, just call and order my free general law CD package first. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative and entertaining. It's educational. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967, and my business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click on the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about, should I buy silver coins or bars? Well, we took a look at what is known as the premium. Now, premiums disappear over time. I can remember when the premium on Krugerrands was $16 a coin and it evaporated to nothing. When the premium on maple leaves and U.S. Eagles was $16, you could buy Krugerrands for spot. Now, the same thing is true for all of the various forms of silver coin. Premiums come and premiums go. You want to buy when the premium is down. And you want to hold until the ratio of gold and silver moves 20 points and then sell it. That gives you a 25% profit. And the profit isn't made in Federal Reserve notes. It's made in real purchasing power and a 25% gain in coin itself. You start with 100, you end up the process with 125. You start the process with 125, and you're looking for another 25 or 30 units of profit in the next transaction. And you go back and forth as the market conditions vary and change. You take advantage of those varying market conditions. Now, remember that the distinction now is in dealing in just weights and balances, which is what God instructed us in Leviticus 19, 35, and 36. It's also repeated in Thou Shalt Not Steal, Exodus 20, 15, and then it's also repeated again in Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. Dealing in just weights and balances has a reward. Dealing in unjust weights and balances has a penalty. And what they have convinced us to do is to exchange weights and measures for value. Now, I explained that once before. Let's catch up on it again, and I'll show you what happens when you deal in Federal Reserve notes speculating in hard money. You lose, and here's why. When I was a boy, you could take a dollar bill and put it on the counter at the Bank of America and walk out with a silver dollar. You could put the silver dollar on the counter and walk out with a paper dollar. So they were fully convertible. One was weights and measures, that was the silver dollar, and the other was value, the Federal Reserve note. Now, the Federal Reserve note cost 3 cents to make. The silver dollar, at least at the time, was reported to be worth $1, whatever a dollar was. Well, here's what a dollar is. A dollar is 412.5 grains of total weight minted in a coin that contains 371.25 grains of 3/9 fine silver. It's not a value. It's a specific weight and measure of something. And the something is silver, and the silver has to have a certain fineness. That's what a dollar is. A dollar is a value. But then when they started manufacturing paper dollars, they put a value on that weight and measure. So the people would exchange the paper as if they were exchanging real weights and measures. And that's what's happened in the silver market today. They have what we call paper silver. So people buy silver and they take a piece of paper, but they don't actually have physical possession of the silver. Well, this is a variation on the old goldsmith program. You know, you brought in your gold to the goldsmith and he would keep it safe for you and he would issue you a receipt. You could go out and use the receipts, you and all the other members of the community, and barter and trade in receipts, knowing that the goldsmith had your gold in the bank, and anytime you wanted to redeem it, you just took your certificate in and redeemed your gold. They've done the same thing today in the commodities markets. Only the goldsmiths of old inflated the receipts. They just created receipts and went out into the marketplace and bought goods and services. Pretty soon there were more receipts out there than there was gold in the bank. Then that gives rise to this old adage that says, short bankers are hung from tall trees. Well, we're in the same boat today. There's a shortage of both gold and silver. That is, the physical gold and silver is in short supply. They have sold on paper 15 years into the future all of the gold production. And they've done the same thing with silver. Now, many of you people are holding these silver certificates. And you're buying and selling and trading, and you're trying to make profit based upon the value of the dollars. All right, now watch this. The dollar is losing value every day. It's called inflation. In 2004, spot gold has hit about $430. Well, in 1980, the paper value is one half. So if you took your paper in 1980 and you compare it to 2004, in 25 years, we've lost 50% of the purchasing power of our paper. That's inflation. Now, it gets a little trickier than that, because if you bought gold in 1980 at $800 an ounce, today that gold is worth $400 in 2004 dollars. Hey, wait a minute. And the 2004 dollars are only worth 50% of the price of the gold, or the value of the gold in 1980. So that takes you down to 25%. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is gold is underpriced today, and it should be priced at around $700, but it's only priced at $400. That's why gold is a good buy. But that's why silver is an even better buy, because there's less silver than there is gold. Even though silver appears in the surface of the earth, in the crust of the earth, at a ratio of 17.5 to 1, it's actually priced at 60 to 1. Now, what form of silver should you be holding so that you can make these ready conversions back and forth between gold and silver? Now, let's consider that the next peak in silver may not be focused on exchange deliverable silver. Rather, at the next peak, real silver may be preferred to all paper silver, including futures contracts. And in that case, the discount would apply not to physical silver, but to silver futures. If that situation unfolds, then investors would be much better served by owning silver coin bags or any other form of physical silver as against paper silver. Now, let's talk about the bulk. The same article creates one further misapprehension with this. Even when trading among investors, silver bags suffer from high shipping weight, 60 pounds to the bag, and handling, that is, counting, bagging, packaging costs, are all unsuited for quick turns. Now, while these drawbacks of coin bags undoubtedly exist, the very same is true of 3/9 fine silver bars. 100-ounce pure silver bars differ in weight from 90% coin only by 10%, not enough to significantly increase shipping costs. All physical forms of silver suffer from the same bulkiness. That's a disadvantage when compared to silver futures contracts or options. However, the trouble pays for itself for three reasons. First of all, silver is very volatile in the marketplace, and we can look for at least a tenfold increase in this bull market. The gain will bear the transaction cost. Now, obviously, I'm not guaranteeing that kind of return, but I do believe that it's possible. Second, silver and gold are the only financial assets that are not simultaneously somebody else's liability. They are the ultimate liquidity, and that brings safety. But that only holds true if they rest safely in your own possession. And third, in the unlikely event of a currency collapse, silver coins will circulate as daily money. Now, here's the premium play. The U.S. 90% silver coins also offer one additional advantage over fine silver bars and coins. When interest in silver investing heats up, 90% of coins often acquire a premium up to 40% over their silver value. When that happens, investors can swap silver bags for bars and increase their silver holdings in ounces by 10 to 25%. Now, I have never seen any 3/9 silver products gain premium like coins. So what he's telling you here is that the bagged silver coins, the U.S. silver coins, for little investors are the best way to handle and hang on to your gold coin. Furthermore, you can easily package this up into rolls and then put them into containers and then stash those containers around here and there so that you never hold all of your stash in one place in case it's discovered. You only lose 10%. So always put your stash into 10 separate locations. Now finally, U.S. 90% coin bags enjoy an advantage over 100-ounce silver bars in a narrower spread between buy and sell. Today, the spread between wholesale buy and sell prices for 100-ounce bars is 30 cents an ounce. But the spread on 90% silver coin is $125 a bag. That's about 17.5 cents an ounce, a little more than half the spread on 100-ounce bars. So the 3.9 fine 10-ounce bars and the 1-ounce coins labor under the same disadvantage against U.S. 90% silver coin. Now, the reason that this is called U.S. 90% silver coin is because the United States has always put in 10% copper in the coins. Except for the new silver dollars that are being minted today in 2004 and the four primary gold coins, $5, $10, $25, and $50 gold coins, which are today 100% bullion coins. All circulating coins in the past, such as the $20 Double Eagle, had 9/10 of an ounce of gold and 1/10 of an ounce of copper. Now, there's a little anomaly here. Those $20 Double Eagles, the commercial variety, not numismatic now, just commercials, have a $17 premium on them over the bullion coins. That's the $50 Eagles today. Now, remember that an Eagle used to be $10. Well, Congress has the power to coin and mint money. And so they changed the denominations. And so they put an Eagle on that 1-ounce bullion coin, and they raised the value of it from $20 to $50 in the 1-ounce coin. Congress has the power to do that, and they did it. We're not really concerned with value. We're concerned with weights and measures. You want to get the most bang for the buck. You want to get the most gold for your money. And your money is denominated in your labor. So when you work an hour, whether you get $10 or $20 an hour, you want to get the most gold possible or the most silver possible in weight for the amount of time that you spent digging it out of the ground, whether you were working in a sawmill or working in a factory or working out in a creek somewhere panning for gold or mining for silver. So for all of these reasons, U.S. 90% silver coins are the most versatile, liquid, and safest form of silver investment today. And you can do yourself a favor. Don't pay too much attention to any dealer's blarney. Now, he may have reasons all his own to tell you that this or that is the best way to invest in silver, like a vault full of dead inventory, for instance. So you want to test the claims of these people that are going to sell you the product. It's the old story of caveat emptor. You want to take their claims, check out their stories, and then make sure that your decision is based on facts, not BS. Now, often I can tell when some dealer is trying to push something off on the public. A lot of customers will call asking for something quite unusual or something that doesn't make much sense. Well, recently I got a rash of calls about 100-ounce silver bars. Look, if you want to buy silver bars rather than any other form of silver, that's fine with me. I want you to be satisfied and confident with your silver purchase, but I prefer that you have the facts and not some dealer's myths. Sometimes dealers discover that whatever they have in inventory or whatever brings them the biggest commission is the best buy on the market. Well, that is true for them, but it's not true for you, the customer. So when somebody's trying to sell you something, especially if you call a broker and you say, well, I want to buy some 90% bag silver. And he says, oh, gee, you don't want to buy that. You want to buy 100-ounce bars. What he's telling you is, in my vault, I've got these 100-ounce bars, and that's what I want to sell you today. He might even tell you that the premium on the 100-ounce bars is less than the bag silver. Okay. Well, you know there's more than one broker around. And you ought to have two or three brokers that you can call. Or you ought to have a broker that you deal with on a regular basis that's honest. Now, when you first break into the market, you gotta remember that you're just a flash in the pan to the broker. When you buy from this guy and sell to this guy regularly, and he's making commissions off of you, pretty soon you develop a relationship with your broker. And with one of my brokers, he calls me and he says, hey, listen, I got a guy here, and he needs to sell this. And here's what he's got. And I know Frank used to call me and he'd say, listen, I got a guy, he's got 1,000 ounces or 100 ounces of Sunshine Mine rounds. Now, you want to remember that not all gold and silver is cash convertible. Now, just tuck that one away in your heart. It's liquid, but it's not cash convertible. Now, Johnson, Matthey, and Englehart are cash convertible across the counter because they always agree that they will buy their own product back at spot price. So when you buy Englehart and Johnson, Matthey, you got cash convertibility. But when you buy Sunshine Mines or some other form of round, when you call to sell it, your broker has to go find a buyer. Or you got to sell it at a discount. Now, I've got a lot of Sunshine Mines and other forms of silver, but I'm not deluded into thinking that they're cash convertible. Now, when the market is going up, then you don't have to sell your silver at a discount. But you always have to pay a transaction fee. Because, see, the broker always gets paid, just like a broker buying and selling houses. He always gets paid his commission. A stockbroker always gets paid his commission. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're trading in stocks and bonds, or you're trading in real estate, or you're trading in gold and silver. You got to pay that transaction fee or that transaction cost. And you want your transaction cost to be as low as possible. And volume does that, or a good relationship with your broker does that. A casual relationship with a coin dealer or some guy in a coin store means that you're going to pay the highest commission that he's charging, and it's usually around 7%. You want to get your transaction fees down to around 2%, 3%, or 4%. You know, 4% is all right, 3% is better, 2.5, 2.75, 3, 3.25. I mean, you know, those quarter points, you know, $100,000 transaction. You know, you're starting to talk about, you know, a few hundred bucks here and there. And each one of these dollars that you put on your bottom line is a dollar of profit. Now, a dollar of profit goes right straight to your bottom line. So when you can cut your costs, it goes right straight to your bottom line. Now, starting at silver charts, I'm trying to figure out which way silver is headed. The premium or discount on bags of U.S. 90% silver coin offers the clue. Now, for several years, I've been recommending silver investors buy U.S. 90% silver coin minted before 1965. It's called silver bags, or euphemistically known as junk silver. And the reasons are simple. It is the most liquid, the most divisible, and right now it is the cheapest way to buy silver. So as the market heats up, and I also expect the premium to increase on U.S. 90% silver coin, and that will create an opportunity for you to swap 90% coin for cheaper silver bars or rounds and increase your silver ounces by 20% or more. So for a full explanation, just see Chapter 16 on physical silver. Now remember, this is the Money Changer Manual, Why Silver Will Outperform Gold 400%. Now, a copy of this manual is available from the Money Changer for $49 plus $5 shipping and handling. So let me put a plug in here for the manual itself. It's the only one I've ever seen like it. It's the only, Franklin Sanders is the only trader that I know of that's ever put out a paper on trading. Only traders know it, and traders don't write about it. It's like anything else in a trade, whether you're a plumber, a carpenter, electrician. There are certain trade secrets that you just don't write about. They're not written in books. And it's the way you do things. Well, traders learn their craft through trial and experience, or trial and error, and other traders that they trade with. And you learn a trick from this guy and a trick from that guy, and over a period of 20 years, you know, you learn your craft. And nobody ever writes it down. Well, Franklin Sanders wrote it down. And you can get a copy from Franklin Sanders, the Money Changer, Post Office Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. Again, that's the Money Changer, P.O. Box 178, West Point, Tennessee, the zip code 38486. Now you can call direct, 888, toll-free, 218-9226. Again, that's 888-218-9226. All right, now what is this thing called premium or discount? The premium is how much a physical silver investment costs over and above its melder at silver value. So the discount is how much 90% silver costs below its silver value. Premium does not equal commission, but includes commission spread and all transaction costs. All right, now here's a little thing to keep in mind. When you buy and sell gold, the broker pays the freight. When you buy and sell silver, you have to pay the freight. And it comes through the United States mail, and it comes insured. So it comes insured. And in all the years that I've been doing this, I've only seen one lost insured package in 22 years. I had one insured package that got lost, and they paid for it. Post office paid it. But all gold and silver is shipped U.S. mail, and it's shipped insured. So just tuck that one away in your heart. Now, this premium or this discount. For instance, with spot silver at $5, a 100-ounce bar costs $550. $500 for the bar, $50 for the commission. It would have a 10% premium. If 90% silver coin were trading at the same rate, 10% premium, it would cost $5 times 10% times $5 times 715 ounces, $3,932.50 for a bag. Now, this manual was written back in May, so the price of silver has gone from $5. The last time I saw it was up around $8. Now, we're in a bull market, and in a bull market, it'll go to $8 and then down to $7.50. Then it'll go to $8.50 and back to $8. And then it'll go to $9 and then back to $8.50. Then it goes to $10 and it goes back to $9.50. Then it goes to $10.50. In other words, it takes a step forward and a step back. And then it takes two steps forward and a step back. That's the way the market works. It goes in increments. Sometimes it moves sideways. The sideways market is where it goes up a dime and down a dime, and up a dime and down a dime, up 20 cents and down 20 cents. It's moving. It's not going anywhere. Just sit back and relax. Now, you take people that have their money over the last 25 years invested in their 401k or Ks or their Kroger plans, and et cetera. The $1980 that they were earning today will buy 50 cents worth of product. Now, if you've got that silver or gold, you got the physical, not a piece of paper. Now you got the physical. And if you paid $5 for it, it's worth $8. If you paid $15, you lost purchasing power. But you haven't lost its value because you still have the physical. And when it goes up in value against paper, you'll collect that back. You're not going to gain in profit, but you're not going to lose anything. Now, where you gain in profit is where you trade hard money. This is where real profit comes in. As these premiums and discounts move through the marketplace, as the ratios move up and down, there are profit opportunities that sharp traders take advantage of. And that's what this manual is all about. And there's no risk involved at all. You always have physical possession of your bag of silver. For instance, let's say we got this $4,000 bag of silver. And today it has 715 ounces of silver in this bag. And it's got $1,000 face value worth of coins in the bag. And it's worth $4,000. Well, 4,000 divided by 400 gives you 10 ounces of gold. So 10 ounces of gold buys one bag of silver at $4,000. When the ratio on this silver coin moves down toward 16 to 1 by 20 points is the time for you to trade the silver back for the gold. Today you trade the gold for the silver. Later you trade the silver for the gold. And each time you do those trades, you end up with more physical ounces than you started off with. Now that's real profit. When you're doing your trading in dollars for silver or gold, and then you trade it back for those paper dollars, you're trading in value for weights and measures. And there's a few guys that make a few bucks on it, but you have to make it over the short haul because over the long haul, inflation and the cost of transactions just eat your lunch. You want to end up with the actual physical silver or gold in your grubby little fist. Now, usually when we think of the silver price, we think of the spot price. That's the price for a contract deliverable on the New York Mercantile Exchange, defined as 5,000 ounces of silver plus or minus 6%, or delivered and paid for on the spot in New York as five each, 1,000 to 1,100 ounce silver bars, not exact weight bars, in other words, with a purity of 99.9%, manufactured by an exchange-approved refiner. So if you look in the newspaper for the silver price, that's most likely what you'll get. However handy the spot price may be as mental shorthand, in actual fact, the silver price is a spectrum of prices for different silver-bearing products. 1,000 ounce, 3.9 fine silver bars, 90% silver coin, silver X-ray scrap, silver ore, silver shot, silver futures, silver options, you name it. The spot price gives you the price at a point in time, but it's not what you're going to be paying for the actual product, and it's not what you're actually going to be receiving for it. Usually, we evaluate each of these generally in terms of the spot price. Is it at a discount or premium to spot? And still, the price of each different form also responds to its own particular supply and demand factors. Now, while premiums on most gold coins are relatively stable, or at least don't fluctuate enough to trade profitably, the premium on U.S. 90% silver coin can be very, very volatile. When silver rises very rapidly, the premium on 90% coin tends to drop as dealers rush to cash in. However, when the public gets hot on silver and folks are crowding in, the premium tends to rise, as during the Y2K event. When silver suddenly drops, the premium rises as dealers refuse to sell at the new lower prices. So when silver languishes for long periods, the premium on 90% tends to drop and to then go dormant. So in order to interpret the 90% premium's movement, we need to know something about the current market background. All right. Now there's a number of graphs in the manual, and you can't see them and I can't describe them for you over the air. But there's about 15 or 18 graphs in here that chart the flow of silver and gold and the value in dollars, that's paper dollars, along with futures, to show you with precision how the movement has been in the past and how the movement or how the trend is now moving in a bull market for the future. Now, the last bull market was from 1960 to 1980. That's a 20-year span. The bull market just started 3 years ago, so if it goes like the last one, we got 17 years to go. That's not a guarantee that this bull market's going to last 17 more years. It may last three more years and then collapse. And at some point in time, it's going to collapse. Now, let me give you an illustration. We're at the peak of a real estate bubble. And I got a piece of property over here, and I looked at that, and I said, this piece of property over here is superfluous to me, and I think I need to sell it and convert that land, that property, into gold, and then stick the gold in a hole in the ground. Then, when the bubble breaks, for instance, 20 years ago, land here was selling for $250 an acre. And today, some of it's selling as high as $10,000. So it ranged from $250 to $1,000. And today, it ranges from $1,000 to $10,000. When that market collapses, it'll go back to 250 to 1,000, just what it was 20 years ago. And that's the time to take the paper profit that you made on the land today and then go back out and buy 10 times as much land. That way you've moved your land through paper, through value, through the bubble. The trick is buying at the bottom and selling at the top. Well, the real estate bubble may not pop for a year or two or 3 years. I don't know. Or it may pop tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Same thing is true with gold and silver. So the trick is that business or your business operation is not the place for you to store your wealth. You use your business operation to make the wealth, you pull the profit, and then you stash the profit and you don't touch it. So when you've made a profit, like in 1980, you made a profit and then you invested that in some kind of a retirement program. Well, inflation's eating that up at the rate of 5% a year. The value of your dollars are going down. You have to be making 5% compounded annually from 1980 to the present to break even. You're not making anything. What we want to do is we want to use money to make money. We want to use wealth to gain wealth. And we want to do it securely and safely so that we're not at risk. You never risk more than you can afford to lose. So you never risk all of your portfolio. Now, for 90% silver coin in particular, demand is primarily monetary. It's not industrial. Nobody buys bagged silver coin to melt it down so that they can use it in electronics. So what's the point? The point is that the movements of certain silver products can give us clues about the general direction of silver, whether it's up and down, and the timing of those moves. If the premium on several forms of silver declines all the way to zero and then becomes a discount, then that tells us that silver in general is going to decline. If silver premiums begin trending up, that suggests that the silver price is going to rise. So the higher the premium, the higher it's going to rise. And when it's discounted, then they're trying to move it. Just the same thing happens in a store. When they've got a sale on something, then they've got a surplus of it, and they're trying to move it. So they discount the price. Now, people buy 90% coin not for industrial application. They buy it for money. And the demand for 90% coin then represents investment demand for silver. So as I've reiterated until you're probably tired of hearing it, investment demand is what primarily drives the silver price to extremes. The small changes in physical supply and demand for silver occur slowly and fairly predictably over time. Changes in investment or monetary demand for silver occur rapidly and hugely affect silver's price at the margin. So without investment demand for silver and gold catching fire, silver and gold will go nowhere. 90% silver coin is simply the better way to hold your silver today. It's divisible. You can use it as money in an economic collapse. You've always got the full weight and it can be melted down and make 715 ounces of silver out of $1,000 face. Now, with all of that in mind, let's look at 90% silver coin's performance since January of 1998, which was the last peak in the silver market. First, a word about chart 17, spot silver versus 90% premium as cents over and under spot. Spot silver price shows as the heavy line with the scale of dollars per ounce on the left. And then there's a wholesale and a retail price that you're paying. For instance, when you go out and you say, I want to buy 100 rounds of silver coin, and let's suppose that it's selling for $5 an ounce, you'll pay a 90 cent per coin premium. That's the retail premium. That's what the guy in the coin store is charging you, 90 cents a coin. When you buy wholesale, you pay half that, 45 cents per coin. So when you save 50% of the premium by buying wholesale or buying in bulk, when you're buying one coin or 10 coins or 20 coins, that's not much of a sale. So don't be bashful in negotiating the commission that the broker is going to charge. Ask him what his brokerage commission is. And you should have two or three prices in front of you. What are other brokers selling for? You know, everybody has a price, just like a can of coffee in a Kroger's, a Safeway, or an Albertsons supermarket. They've all got MJB coffee. They've all got Folgers coffee, and they've all got a price on it. And they all paid about the same price at the wholesale level when they bought that case of coffee. Now, when they buy coffee, they don't buy a case. They buy a pallet or a truckload. Now, the difference between a can of coffee, a case of coffee, a pallet of coffee, and a truckload of coffee. You know, don't sit there and pay the full retail price when you're buying a truckload. To give you an illustration, I've got one broker that I deal with. When you buy $100,000, the commission's 2.5%. When you buy $2,500, the commission's 4%. $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $7,500. Each one of those breaking points has a discount. And you want to make sure that you're collecting that full discount. And he's not going to tell you what that discount is. No broker ever tells you what his discount policy is. He just tells you, well, the premium's 4%. The premium's 4% until you say to him, wait a minute. Premium's 4% on $2,500. What's the discount on $5,000? What's the discount on $10,000? $25,000. And if he doesn't have a breakdown, well, then let's start talking to another broker. You know, the difference between 4% and 2% at $100,000 is $2,000. $2,000. How much is that in the way of silver? $2,000 divided by $8 an ounce. 250 ounces. And you know, 250 ounces in my pocket's better than 250 ounces in your pocket. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart. No broker is ever going to tell you what the discount is until you ask him. And when you ask him, he'll tell you. Otherwise, he just charges you the straight 4%. Now remember, the brokers deal from 2 to 4%. Now dealers deal anywhere from 2% to 7%, and I've seen guys charge as high as 10% premiums. And those guys are kind of ripping you off. And people will come in here and they'll say, well, I paid this amount for this coin or these coins. And I hear them, and they're not necessarily getting ripped off. If you go in and buy a tube, that's a little plastic container that has 20 ounces in it. You buy a tube. And, you know, they're silver dollars. That tube is silver dollars, and you pay $9 each. You pay 180 bucks for this tube, that's fine. But, you know, I can get those same silver dollars for a dollar less than that. So, you know, I look at people and say, well, you paid a little bit high for that, but it's not the end of the world. But now, if you were going to buy, you know, 1,000 of those, you want to make sure now that that dealer isn't gaffing you by charging you 4, 5, 6, 8%, and you're buying a pretty substantial quantity of coin. Now, keep in mind also that these dealers, they don't have this stuff in inventory. This isn't like going into the supermarket. And the supermarket's got these cans on the shelf. Gold brokers and commodity dealers, they don't have all this gold and silver in their warehouse. That's why they're called brokers. A broker isn't a retailer. The dealer in the coin store, he might have an inventory. He's got glass cases that have inventory, and he has to get more money to support that inventory in that storefront. Brokers work out of their houses, out of their homes. A broker is a guy that is the go-between between you and the guy that's got it in the warehouse. That's the Bank of England. And he takes a very small percentage, a very small commission for handling the transaction. So you don't walk in today, put your money on the counter, and walk out with the goods. You send your money, and when the check clears, the goods come to you 2 or 3 weeks later in the mail, insured mail. Now that's the way gold and silver transactions are made. Now, tuck that one away in your heart. As a rule of thumb, 90% silver coin and everything else except the particular form of silver that currently enjoys the strongest fashionable demand will discount at relatively high peaks in the market and go to a premium at relatively low. All right, let's try this one on. Let's suppose you call your broker and you say, well, what's trading today? He says, well, bag silver is $250 a bag premium. And then 100-ounce silver bars, you work out the premium and maybe it's 4%. And maybe he's got some odd weights or he's got some odd coins or something like that, and he's selling them at 3%. And in some cases, he might have something there he's selling at spot. All right? You want to get the most physical silver for your money, so you take it at spot. Now you hang on to that. And then the marketplace changes. Bag silver coin is no longer in vogue, or it's now selling at spot. But maybe the coins that you've bought, the U.S. silver dollars or whatever, just trading at spot, or trading yours with a premium for spot, actually nets you more ounces just on the premium itself. And these are typically called day traders. Now, a day trader is a guy that makes a move in the marketplace and takes a very small commission, but he might do it from day to day. He's looking for a market change of just a few cents, and they do this in stocks. They'll buy a stock that's selling for $50, and the stock is moving up, and the stock hits $51.20, and he sells it the next day. Now, that's a little bit too technical for me, and it probably is too technical for you. But just be aware that there are people out there that do that. So as a rule of thumb, 90% silver coin and everything else except the particular form of silver that currently enjoys the strongest fashionable demand. And remember, that premium is just a fashionable demand. That's what it boils down to. Now, why should that happen? Well, because at peaks, dealers are rushing to cash in on high silver prices. And at the last two peaks in 1980 and 1998, although not necessarily at the next one, the silver then in strongest demand was deliverable silver, that is, silver which can be delivered to the New York Commodity Exchange, which I defined above or in London to slightly different specifications. That means it's got to be in 1,000-ounce bars. Well, you're not going to have any 1,000-ounce bars. Not very likely. Now, since every other form of silver, 100-ounce bars, 90% coin, 10-ounce bars, everything, had to be refined by an exchange that's approved smelter before it could be delivered. And since that all took time, everything else discounted to the spot price of silver. Thus, you can see on the chart that in January 1998, silver coin traded at a 39-cent under spot. You got that? January 1998. Silver's trading at 30 cents under spot. All right, now here's another little clue or another little tip for you. Ask your broker. That is, when the broker has a customer who's trying to sell something, tell him that you're a shark and that you're interested in discounts and that you want to buy under spot. And anytime that he's got a customer that wants to get rid of it, you've got the cash. That is, you've got the paper money to pay cash for the silver in hand. Now, what typically happens is this in a transaction. Somebody calls the broker and says, I got 1,000 ounces of silver I need to sell. The broker gets on the phone to his source, and he says, I got 1,000 ounces, locked in the price for me. And then he locks in the price, calls his customer back and says, okay, we're going to sell that for you at $7.39. And the broker has figured in his commission. Now, if instead of sending that profit off to his supplier, he could pass that same discount off to you. So what happens is Frank calls me on the phone and says, hey, I got a guy here that wants to sell 1,000 ounces, and here's the form of silver he has. One time he called me and says, this guy's got two bags of bag coins, 50-cent pieces, silver halves. And I said, okay, well, at that particular moment in time, the premium on bag silver was at zero. And so there was a $250 discount. So I took both bags and saved $500 on the discount because I had the cash to pay for those bags right then. So the broker doesn't take the bags and send them off to his supplier, and then you call in, and then he goes to his supplier and sends them back, and you got all that transportation. You just got one transaction. It goes from the broker's customer to the broker, from the broker to you, and you take the discount. Now, you're sitting here with the bags. Now, of course, this has to be your savings money. This is why I always tell my students, you know, there's certain things that you have to have. You need to be free and clear. You need to have food, clothing, and shelter. Before you get off into buying gold and silver coin, you should have a 4-year supply of food in a house that's free and clear, and you should have a 4-year supply of clothes. You know, you got tough times coming up like the 1930s. And if that's the case, and if that's what is in the cards, then of what value is having gold and silver coin when there is a famine? It's like having gold coin in Bosnia while there are artillery shells raining down on you. What you need is a cave, not gold coin. You need a place, a foxhole to hide in. The same thing is true here. There are certain things in subsistence and survival that you need that are of greater importance. And I would say that there's things in greater importance than guns and ammunition, like food, clothing, and shelter for openers. Same thing is true here when you're dealing in precious metals. Now, here's a rule of thumb aside. The premium on silver coin has not just blindly followed the same rule. So when we look at the chart, you need to be careful, because in that the chart that I've changed, the way the premium is calculated, as I explained below, there the premium on 90% coin is not expressed as cents over or under spot silver, but as the cost per ounce of 90% silver coin divided by spot silver. So you take a look here, and remember that when you're dealing in paper money and you're buying gold and silver, that's the conventional way that people think. The way you need to learn to think is, what percentage of the actual physical silver am I paying in premium? Not how many dollars, because remember, these dollars now are values. Federal Reserve notes are values. A silver dollar is a weight and measure. This is deception, political deception. And the politicians didn't do this for no good reason. They did it because they want to keep you and me confused. They don't want us using gold and silver coin. That's why they took it away from us. The politicians took gold out in 1933 because if you and I could deal in gold and silver coin, we could buy, sell, and trade and make profit and gain. They don't want that. So they've reduced us to values. These values are deceptive. They're subject to inflation. They're subject to taxation. They're subject to audit. There's no privacy. When you deal in gold and silver coin, it's not subject to taxation unless you're converting it to paper value. The tax is on dollars, not ounces. The IRS is not taxing ounces, they're taxing value. Always remember that. In early 1998, the bag premium performed as expected, discounting when silver suddenly spiked to $7 in New York and $7.80 in London. Remember, that was the Buffett deal. No big surprise there. After January of 98, silver dipped below $5, so we might have expected the premium to stiffen a bit. Instead, it exploded upside. Y2K demand was pure monetary demand, and people were buying 90% coin to use as money in case Y2K caused bank credit computer money to evaporate. So the 90% coin premium spiked to 223 over spot silver. That's 223 cents over spot silver. Now, after Y2K fizzled, many of those same people cashed in their silver bags. Well, then that increased the supply dramatically, but it also led the way for silver for the next year and a half, and that was a downtrend. So the price of silver moved sideways while the bag premium dropped. Around January of 2000, the premium's behavior shifted, and it became a leading indicator of silver's price. And since that time, the premium has tended to lead spot silver, rising before spot rises and falling before spot falls. So why does 90% coin now refuse to drop as fast as spot? Well, there are two possible answers. More and more silver investors are coming into the market who are buying 90% coin on dips. That is, these are the day traders. This is where the price dips and they come in and buy, the price goes up, and then they sell. Okay. Then also dealers who very quickly became accustomed to silver at higher prices refuse to sell the 90% cheaper when silver drops. So likewise, they're quick to sell 90% coin when silver rises strongly. Whichever of these interpretations in fact predominates, they imply the same thing. That monetary demand for silver is growing, investors are coming into the market, and that's the best news that silver's price can hear. So here's a key to silver tops and bottoms. The two charts with this chapter offer us another clue for identifying tops and bottoms in the silver market. So I mentioned that to you earlier. That Sanders has put in a number of charts here so that you can see over the past how silver has performed and where the markets have topped and where they've bottomed. So you can see where the premiums come into play, and then you can extrapolate that into the future. Silver today should be priced at $43 an ounce. Just looking at it historically, and gold should be priced at $700 an ounce, and they're vastly undervalued. And that's because of all of the gold and silver futures and paper that's out there. Now listen to this. I mentioned it before. Listen to this. Both silver and gold are sold into the future. 15 years. If you took every ounce of production for the next 15 years worldwide, that's how much gold and silver production it would take to redeem all the paper that's out there today. Boy, that's a scary one. If you're holding paper, it's music to my ears if you're holding physical. All right, we're about out of time. I'm going to have to wrap it up right here, and we'll close this out, and I'll give you the rest of the story, as old Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, next time when we come back. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here, same time, same station, tomorrow. So until then, good night, friends.